all the good things you have prepared for your children, Lord, you will accomplish it today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. The Lord is good. Now, today I want to talk about something which I don't know exactly how to start it. That is, either to say it on his own or make it a part of a series that I was hoping to start today. But this one looks like it's good enough to be part of it. What I'm calling today's message is how to enter enduring success. Now, what I wanted to talk about is a message I called the servant of God. That I want us to start this, that I'm going to go on next into discussing what I call the servant of God. Now this one, I don't know whether it's part of it, but let's just start teaching. We may include as number one or not. But I'm going to take my text of scriptures today from Psalm 118. But before we read Psalm 118, I think first of all, I want us to read something from Matthew chapter 7. With that, I want to make a statement. And then we'll now go into the main thing I want to say. Matthew chapter 7, two verses I'm going to read, 13 and 14. Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." What I want to bring out is this. Whatever it is that you are looking for in life, what you will find while looking for it is determined by how you got that thing that you were looking for. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Let me explain it again. It said, enter by the narrow gate. The reason is because the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. What he was saying is that if you go by the broad way and enter by the wide gate, you will find destruction. But he said, in trying to accomplish the same thing, please notice this. If you go by the narrow way and enter by the small gate, then you will find life. What am I trying to explain? That what you find is determined by how you entered. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? That is, in life, there are many things we desire. In fact, what I was teaching them yesterday, where I went to teach, I said, there is nothing wrong with desiring things in life. An example I used, I said that if you decide that the kind of house you want to live in must have 7 floors, and ground floor is your parking space, first floor is your kitchen, second floor your sitting room, third floor your wife's closet, you know, like Puff Daddy, you know, PDD. What's his current name? PDD. All right, that has a whole house that's a closet. Let me tell you the truth. It is not worldliness. No, believe me, you know, it will sound funny, like, what do you mean? Are you saying you sanction it? It is not my business to sanction or dissanction his life. You understand what I'm going to say? It doesn't concern me at all to say what he's doing is right or what he's doing is not right. But what I can assure is that if you desire that kind of house in your life, it is not worldliness. Now, I don't desire that kind of house. I actually think it is silly. But that is as far as I am concerned. Are you following the point I'm going to make here? That is, If you think that, look, when you want to drive around, you remember the way our guy Patrick Amuzia used to drive around those days? When we were in Lagos, there is Zoe 1, 2. In fact, there was Zoe without 1 or 2. Then after that, there's Zoe 1. Then Zoe 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is not a joke. I saw it one day passing. Boom. And they are not cheap cars. I mean, Zoe was an S600. You understand my point? White. S600. That was the Zoe itself. Then there was now the accompany Zoes, the ones, the twos, the threes, and they were, Honda Civics, regular V-Bulls, Jeeps, you know. Now, why should a man travel like that? It doesn't concern you. See, he has not come to ask you for money. He's not using your car. Now, I'm trying to bring out a point here that it is not what a man is, I mean, that physical thing that a man desires that's worldliness. It is not. Do you understand my point? But how you come to that level, you are getting what I'm trying to say. Because we have to be careful. If Bill Gates decided to drive through Nigeria and he has 100 cars written Microsoft 1 to 100, we will not think there's anything wrong with it. You know why? Because we think he deserves it. He's the richest man in the world, you know? So Microsoft 1, Microsoft 2, Microsoft 3, 4, 5, there is no big deal as far as you and most of us are concerned. The reason being that we feel that the man can properly afford what he's driving. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying all of these things. Now, I'm not saying you should now go home now and decide that your house must have 14 floors. I'm not teaching you how to. I'm just trying to bring out a point that those are not the things that determine what worldliness is. But what you will really experience in life is not determined by those things. It is how you got them that will decide whether you have acquired life or you have walked into destruction. So Jesus said, in whatever it is you are doing, how you get the result is the main thing. It is not exactly what it is that you are desiring. Are you getting my point? Now, let's get back to our message. I just want you to understand that. Now, this is actually intertwined with everything that we are going to say today. I said, we are taking our text from where? Psalm 118. Thank you very much. So if you have your Bibles, quickly open to Psalm 118. Remember, what I'm talking about is how to enter into enduring success or how to achieve enduring success. There was something you heard me say a few weeks ago, that the difference between God and Satan is not just in the results that they want you to get. It is how they are going to take you to that place. Are you getting my point? Now, there's another difference, actually, and that is the fact that what Satan gives you comes quickly, and anything you get quickly ends quickly. Do you understand my point? But God brings his things very slowly. I will say come to all these things, because if I take off now, we will not read this text, all right? So let us read the text, then we can say everything we want to say. Is that okay? All right, Psalm 118. I use the New American Standard Bible. It said, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let Israel say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let the house of Aaron say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let those who fear the Lord say, his loving kindness is everlasting. From my distress, I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. What he's trying to say is that the side that God is on the side of those that help me. He said, therefore, I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Verse 10. All nations surround me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, he said. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished as a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. You pushed me violently so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. That is, he did not let me reach the ground. He said, as a result of this, verse 14, I am saying, the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. What he's saying is that the reason why there is a sound of joyful shouting and salvation in the tents of the righteous is because the right hand of the Lord does valiant things for them. In verse 16, it says, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. As a consequence, verse 17, I will not die but live and tell of the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Verse 19. Please notice this one very carefully. That's our main message. It said, open to me the gates of righteousness. Remember from Matthew 7 we read, there are different kinds of gates. Now he said, amongst those gates that there are multitudes of them, the one I want is the gates of righteousness. I hope you are following that point. He said, I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. Please, I want you to notice something here. What he was saying is that there are many gates in life by which you can enter into things. I hope you are getting my point. That is, there are many things in life you want to accomplish, and there are many ways by which you can accomplish them. He said, but there is a particular method that is God's method, and that is the one he calls the gates of righteousness. He said, this is the one that the righteous enter through. That when a righteous man wants to enter into success, he looks for the gates of the Lord. And the gates of the Lord is described as a gate of righteousness. I hope you are getting my point. That is what makes it the gate. That is, anytime you see the gates of the Lord, What characterizes it is the righteous works that are found therein. What describes it is the righteousness that is found on it. That is called the gates of the Lord. He now said, I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me. That's verse 21. And you have become my salvation. He said, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, these things are tied together. What he was saying is that one day God will do something great, that the man that was rejected because he did not follow the gates that everybody uses, that one will be found out to be the chief man that has made the correct decisions. Are you getting my point? And he said, in that day, you will see that it is a day that the Lord has made. You will see the marvelous thing that God has done in this man's life. Please follow what I'm trying to say. Verse 25, O Lord, do save, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. Blessed is the man who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. What I wanted to note from here is the same light of what we read from Matthew chapter 7. Let me go over it and explain it again, and then continue from there what I really wanted to say. That in life, I said, it is not what you desire that's a problem. It is how you want to enter into it. You will read from Psalm 118 here that, you know, when you read it off the cuff, you think he's talking about the gates of the temple. I examined it and read as many translations as I could lay my hands on while I was studying this. And I realized that David did not say anything about the temple of God. What he just said is that, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will enter through them. And we read from Matthew chapter 7. Jesus was speaking there. He said, whatever you want to do in life, you have a choice to make. Which gate you want to enter through? Are you getting what I'm saying? And what we are discussing today is how to enter into enduring success. I told you something at the beginning, just a while ago, that there are a number of differences between the things that God gives you and the thing that Satan gives you. That is, what I'm saying in effect is that, let's generally categorize the gates into two groups. There are the gates of God, which is the gate of righteousness, and every other one is of Satan. Are you getting what I'm saying? And each gate has an attraction. Get what I'm saying? The one that Satan uses to bait people is that you will get your result quickly. If you go and read the temptations of Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 4, Satan told him, bow to me now, and I will give you these kingdoms of men. Are you getting what I'm going to say? And let me say this again, because you have to keep on saying this thing again and again so that people can really imbibe it into their hearts, into their souls, so that their spirits can catch it. There is nothing that Satan has ever offered anybody that God did not plan to give him first. Let me say that again. I did not say that there is nothing that Satan has given somebody that God could not have given him. I didn't say that. I said Satan does not have the ability, this is my personal persuasion, to give you what God did not want you to have. Do you understand my point? That is the only difference between Satan and God is how you got it. You see, we're in Nigeria, politics is a big issue, and not only in Nigeria, it's everywhere in the world. You know, this afternoon I was reading that book I told you last week I was still reading this afternoon. My Life and Ministry, Expect a Miracle by Oral Roberts. And he said that when they were going to build the City of Faith, which is their medical complex, it's quite a gigantic structure, sitting on what he said it sits on 2.2 million square feet of space. That's the City of Faith. It has their hospital, the complex where the doctors and their prayer partners live, and the research center, all of them on the same base. Three towers shooting, and one of them has, I think, 60 floors. Now, that's it. It's now I understand when Bishop Oyedepo will be speaking and said that he went to a City of Faith and he looked and said, it can happen anywhere. That is, he had to tell himself, this can happen anywhere. Now, it's not, interesting enough, it's good to read. You know, I keep on saying, I did not know this much about Oral Roberts until I bought that book. You understand? And I read the other one the other time. That is Still Doing the Impossible. Now, he said that when they were going to apply, now what happened was that he felt like adding what he called graduate schools to or a robust university. And he was going to add a faculty of law, medicine, and another one. Now, for medicine, they need a hospital, naturally. So he tried to get affiliations with hospitals in Tulsa, and none of them agreed. None of them. Number one, they didn't even agree with his principles, and he was a controversial man. Many people didn't want to have anything to do with him. But the most important reason was that God did not want it affiliated, because he said what God wanted him to do was to have a place where faith and medicine is mixed thoroughly together. That every doctor there is born again and spirit-filled. They lay hands on their patients. They join hands to pray before they start surgery. As surgery is going on, people are praying for the patient. That's the center of that thing. So he said, God now let him know that what he was going to have to do is to build his own hospital, is build his own complex. And God showed him the picture, that is an image of what it was going to be like. Now, this is what I want to bring out from that story. He said that, of course, they now had to apply for a license. You needed a license to do all those things. In fact, the first thing they had to get was what they call a certificate of need. That is, you have to prove that the society needs the thing you want to do. All right? Now, he now said that after that, they needed to get a lot of approvers. This is what I'm coming to. He said when they were meeting members of the House of Representatives or maybe senators, he discovered that the state senate, a lot of the people there were waiting to be paid to give their approval. Now, this is not Nigeria. This is United States of America. That sometimes Nigerians feel as if God built a house there that he lives in personally. The senators too were waiting for their before they give approval. Now, he said the man who was representing him told the man, listen, we're not giving anybody a dime. If you guys don't give us this, it will be because God doesn't want us to have it. But we will not give anybody a kobo. Now, that's what I'm trying to bring out here. That is, this is the difference between God and Satan. Satan says, come, I will give you quickly. Now, they have to use, of course, that's one thing about when God wants to do something, and we're talking about it in this series. There is bringing in the power of God through prayer. Are you getting my point? Now, prayer doesn't mean that you must knock your head on the wall or stand with your feet up. No. Prayer means that you must consciously recognize that only God can do this, and that you are the prophet of God on the earth, and God needs your words as a license to come into that situation. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? That is, maybe we want to go. Even when I pray about some of this, it may appear trivial. That the way I say my prayers. There was a day I was praying for my wife, and she said that the way I pray itself, that somebody will not know that you're really saying this thing very seriously. You get what I'm trying to say? Now, I may just maybe want to do like a seminar here now. The seminar won't just come and go, all right? First thing to do, we have a desire. So we'll not just say a simple word. God, this is what we desire to do. Give success and give progress to this seminar. Let men hear of it. Let them come. Let them be blessed. Let the anointing be released. It might be that simple. It might be more difficult. It may be this kind that will have you wake up at night and pray in the spirit. I don't know. But the thing is that one thing that characterizes the gates of God is that he must be initiated through prayer. In fact, if you see in Psalm 118, I noticed something that David said there. He said that, verse 21. No, let me just read from 20. It said, this is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. He now said, I will give thanks to you for you have answered me. What does that tell us? That is, he made a request of the Lord and the Lord answered him. Are you getting my point? So Robert said, he told the people, listen, we are not giving you people any dime, but we are going to get our approval because this was born of God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Now, that's the thing about Satan. Satan will tell you, do it this way, we'll give you quickly. Now, that's something I want to emphasize again. Satan tells you to collect it quickly. It gives you something that is unrighteous to do, but you will get your results fast. Are you following my point? You know, I started this train of thoughts by bringing out this issue again, that there is nothing on this earth that Satan can offer you that God was not planning to give you. There is nothing that Satan can do for you that God would not have done much more if you had waited for God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is, sometimes people think that the gates of God, because they are narrow, that means what is behind it must be narrow.
Because you see a gate, it's so tight to squeeze through it. So you assume that the compound that is that the fence is guarding is a very small compound. But God said that is not like it is not like that. It is actually a very broad compound. It is a compound of greatness and prosperity. But I want to ensure that only those that really deserve it get it. And the way I do it is by making the road tight. Let me explain something. When it said narrow is the road, it doesn't just mean that it can only take a few people. That's not what he meant. Let me just explain that. When it says narrow, it means it is tight. It means you have to squeeze through it. You have to use, let me use a medical word, you have to use diapedesis. You know, you stick one hand in first, you put a head. It's like if you come and see my son trying to pass through the door, Olubenga, that's our front door. You see, because he's too weak to swing the door wide. And the door is this springy door. And once you push it back, it pushes you back, all right? So you first put a hand, then squeeze the head, then put a leg. Then he gets stuck and he shouts. And if you don't release him, he will keep squeezing until finally the whole body is through and then it remains only his foot. And he drags that one out. And you see, in that process, he might get scratched. That is what Jesus meant when he said, narrow is the way. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? When he says the gate is narrow, that's what he was saying. When he says the other one is broad, that is, you walk through it very comfortably. You walk through it without any difficulty. That's the point he was making. It's not as if it can take many people. That's not the point. But because that one is so simple, everybody finds it easier to go through it. You know, I'm talking about the servant of God. I think this will be our first in the series. How to enter into enduring success. Because, you see, the second thing I was saying, the difference between God and Satan is that when Satan gives you something quickly, it also dies off quickly. Are you getting my point? I mean, you have seen a lot. I don't have to mention names. In Nigeria, you see a man was poor yesterday. Then he enters into the occult. Or he enters, well, all of them are the same thing. Whether it's 419 or occult, all of them come to the same thing. They are all of their fathers, the devil. Are you following my point? The next day, the man appears in town. He has bought 15,000 square meters in Nigeria, 20,000 square meters in Independence layout. He builds one giant complex here, builds another one there. And when he's driving past, all these cars are big and robust. And the numbers, they're one after the other. I told you, to want a house that sits on 50,000 square meters is not iniquity. Do you understand my point? It is how you get it. That is what characterizes what you get there. It's the gate by which you entered into that thing. So you see the man, after acquiring all these things, suddenly, literally suddenly, he dies. Are you following my point? The reason is because what he got quickly. That is the principle. Jesus, when he was speaking about the kingdom of God, that's like a seed that a man plants. He said the one that springs up quickly is the one that dies quickly because there is no depth anchoring it in the realm of the spirit. I'm using my own words now to bring something out here. There is nothing anchoring it. For that reason, it dies off quickly. I told you that I was telling you, I was going to start saying that. I was having a discussion with Pastor Annie the other day. We were talking about many things in life. I got something led to the discussion. Then we said, and I think we've discussed some of these things along here before, that anything that will be, oh yeah, I remember this is how we said it. Anything that God wants to do, he always starts it small. The kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants into the ground. Now, the aim of that planting is to have a tree that is so great that all the birds of the air can come and nest under its shade. But when God sees that and he wants to start it, how does he start it? He starts it with a seed. You know, I was meditating this way today while after reading that book by Ora Roberts. And something came to my mind. I said, me too, I think I should teach that. Maybe we'll do it next week. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe. Let's see what comes up. My own version of the miracle of seed faith. You get what I'm saying? Now, this has been taught by most people. I've heard it preached a lot and my heart has never really agreed with it totally. And that is when you need something, all right, you give towards it first. That one, hear it again, I reject that doctrine. I reject it, all right? I totally reject that doctrine. You see, giving is not a kalokalo machine. You know, God is not a kalokalo machine. You don't have to give something to God before he gives back to you. No. Let me say it again. I reject that doctrine. I have not found any reason in the scriptures to believe it. Are you getting my point? Some of the examples we use to substantiate it are taken out of what the Bible calls diversities of manifestations. That is, as one widow gave to the prophet and got abundantly, so did the other widow pour into a jar and didn't give to anybody, and she got abundantly. There were two widows. Are you following my point? There is no standard principle that every widow that wants from God gives to a prophet first. One widow came and the prophet said, in fact, people said that it's because she gave. I said no. And that's one of the things I want to explain about the principle of that seed faith. That giving to the prophet was a sign, because somebody said that activated something. Listen, it only connected with something that was activated, listen to me, by her prayer. I know what I'm trying to say. I don't have time to explain that. But that woman prayed to God, because you will see that the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord runs through and through the whole earth, looking for who he might show himself strong on their behalf, and that person must be one whose heart is perfect towards him. And Jesus said there were many lepers in Israel, but none was cleansed but who? Naaman. And there were many widows, to none of them was the prophet sent. Are you connecting something here? But that one that was in Zarephath, I'm bringing out a point here, that there was something in her heart that God responded to when he sent Elijah. Do you understand my point? She did not begin something that time when she gave to the prophet. What happened was that the prophet said, make for me first, because... Now, listen to the connection. He didn't say, make for me and it shall come to pass that it will never fail. Did he say that? He said, make for me first, because thus says the Lord. That is, I have come to your house armed with one word. What I have brought to you, like Naaman was collecting healing, you are collecting deliverance from poverty. Now, whether you believe me or not is decided by whether you give me to eat or you don't. It is not as if you are getting reward. Do you understand my point? If the woman says that, may I chop this one first? A bird in hand is worth 10 in the bush. What she's saying is that that word of God cannot alight on her. I've told you that spiritual things are like that. It has to be connected. Are you getting my point? If it's a curse, you have to do something to imbibe, to download it upon your head. And if it's a blessing, there is something you do. Are you following my point? There is something you do that brings that blessing into your life. So when I tell you about my own version of the miracle of seed faith, that thing that you do is the seed. Now, let me explain what I'm saying. It can be anything. It can be anything. It can be resign this job. You haven't given anything to anybody. But that is a seed. Which means that you have agreed that it is God that will do this thing. That's what I call my own version of the miracle of seed faith. What am I saying here? When you are squeezing through that door, when life is hard and tight because you are trying to do what is right, it is a seed. And you're only doing it because, thus says the Lord, that jar will never be empty. You are getting what I'm trying to say here. Now, let's get back to the main thing we are saying. So the real principle is for one to believe the word of God. So if you have an expectation from the hand of God, like so David was saying here, he said, the Lord has answered me, which means that I have prayed to him. Therefore, I take all the hard beatings in life, knowing that that door, though it is narrow, though it is tight, it only leads to a large place. Listen, nothing guides you in life more than faith. I hope you are getting the principle I'm trying to say here. That, listen, let me conclude that one, is that Satan will tell you, I will give you quickly. Now. But when he does give you something quickly, listen to this. He has given you a glimpse of what God will have given you, but that's all you get of it. A small taste, and then you lose everything. He came to Jesus Christ, he said, bow to me, and I will give you all these kingdoms. That is the gate of unrighteousness. It's the gate of Satan. Bowing to Satan to collect things. Are you following the point? That is the gate of unrighteousness. Jesus said it is forbidden that we should do that. Why? Because God has said, you shall worship the Lord thy God only, and only him will you serve. At the end of the day, the Bible said that because he was obedient to the point of death, therefore God highly exalted him and gave him a name that is far above every other name, including the name of Satan that was planning to give him everything. He now said, what is the end of the whole thing? At the end of this creation, what do we find? That the kingdoms of the world have now become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And then, listen to this, he will now reign for how long? Forever. That is the difference. That is a young man who goes through the gates of unrighteousness. Listen, while you are suffering, he will make money now. And he will drive to your hometown and show everybody, including your parents, how stupid you are. Do you understand my point? But listen to me. If he entered into wealth by the gates of unrighteousness, what is it that will happen? Quickly, David said that when I entered into the temple, I discovered their end. You are following my point? Quickly, you also depart. But what God does is to build up something gradually. Now, let me get back to something I was saying earlier. I just remembered it now, before I lose track of it. So I said I was discussing with somebody, and we said that there is a principle by which the gates of God operates. It's almost standard. God doesn't, I'm not aware he has ever broken that order. That is something great he wants to do on earth, he must start it small. Are you seeing another reason why that gate is narrow? It must be small. In fact, one of the reasons why we're discussing, Pastor Anya, we're saying that, he said, how come a lot of business that spring up in Enugu also collapse? I said, his standard is like that everywhere. I said, do you know the main reason? I asked him a simple question. I said, if this is your studio that's open, just downstairs here, if it doesn't make money for the first 2 years, you do not earn profit from it, are you going to close it down? He said, impossible. I said, you see? It is not possible. That is, there is a passion, there is a vision with which you are pursuing this thing. So if it doesn't make money for 2 years, you won't fold it up. Why? It was not founded on the drive for profit. It was founded on a particular dream in your heart. So even though it tarries, you will wait for it. You are getting the point. But what is the broad way? Economists will come. Accenture will come to you. PricewaterhouseCoopers will come to you. They will do the accounting and see that you have invested 5-something million naira here. And at the end of 2 years, they calculate your profit. It is not, it's hardly enough to, by the time they remove your rent, remove the money you have paid people, then cost your own personal involvement, give you a salary, they realize that you are virtually running at a loss. So what do they say? It would have been better for you to take that 5-something million, put it in a bank account. At least by now, it will have yielded profit. It's called the broad way that leads only to destruction. That is, at the end, yes, it will have yielded profit, but where are you? There's still no studio. There is still no studio. You are still not going to make any impact in that area in this life. You are not going to make that impact. But it is easier because you don't have to struggle. You don't have to try. Money is just there. They are just paying you your interest. But he said that one only leads to destruction. But the one that leads to life, somebody will abuse you and let you know that your mates invested this way and I told you to do it like that. But you are pursuing what you call vision. But what they don't realize is that any great thing that God wants to do must first start at a seed. And the irritating part is that the seed must die first. She, even if it starts growing immediately, we'll be happy. That shit was one seed. Now it has come to three. Praise God. You know what first happens? The seed dies. All the investment just enters into that thing. No money is coming out again. And instead of it to start producing, it now starts taking time to grow. Every little money, that is anything you drag, either from the sun or from the earth, is only used to make the thing grow. So for the first many months, if you are talking about, let's use a tree. For the first many years, what do you see? Nothing. As for fruit. But the thing might be growing. You might see it grow. Or if it's like the Chinese bamboo, it doesn't even come out at all. But doesn't mean that in the realm of the spirit, something is not happening. I'm bringing out a point here. That the seed first dies. That is the annoying part. So everybody will now be sure that this thing has really finished. I always knew that guy was very foolish. And look, they will be carrying this faith thing. As if he's the only one that God is on his side. The rest of us only have a God too. Are you getting my point? So he enters into troubles. And then one day, finally, you begin to hear, go back to Psalm 118. The sound of joyful shouting comes into his house. But before we get there, notice what happens. He said, they pushed me violently so that I was falling. He appeared like I was failing. He said, but God didn't allow me to reach the ground. If you go to verse 10, all the nations surrounded me, he said. They surrounded me like bees. He said, but God extinguished them for me. Are you following the point here? He said, at the end, verse 15, the sound of joyful shouting and salvation was now heard in my tents. He said, because the right hand of the Lord has done valiantly. In all these troubles, verse 18, he says, the Lord was disciplining me severely. He said, but he has not given me unto death. But listen to this. When I am in trouble, he said, what will I do if I want to enter into prosperity? I will maintain one order, entering through the gates of righteousness. I'm explaining something here. That if you now enter finally, let me use the word finally for now, into that abundance, into that prosperity, it came by God's order. It came slowly. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? By the time it finally produces, the tree is so big that even if you set the forest on fire, you can't burn it. Are you getting my point? Take Iroko tree. You burn the whole forest. That tree is not going to die because one fire burnt. What I'm saying, is it making sense to you? The tree will not die just because one fire burnt. But you will understand. You know, grass, one fire burnt, all flesh, you will realize, is really like grass. They say the reason why business don't do well in Nigeria is because NEPA is not working. Listen, while NEPA wasn't working, some people were making more money than they were making when NEPA was working. The people who fold up because NEPA is not working are the small people. Are you getting my point? That the strength that God has built in a man will make him stand the days of adversity as if nothing is going on. Are you following the point I'm making? That is, he will survive the times of trouble because he has entered into his prosperity through the gates of righteousness. I don't know whether you are getting the point I'm making. Let me say something here. It is a very, very satanic argument for people to make you change location, make you change your opinions in life, or make you change your direction because it is easier the other way. Listen to me. It's called the broad way that leads only to destruction. Listen to me. It will not appear like it is entering into destruction initially. Because if it appeared like that, why will anybody enter? Are you following my point? The way you know it is Satan that is baiting you away is for people to tell you that the only, look, that you don't need to go through this hassle. I told you before, one of the reasons, and it's still my opinion, why I have never been bought by the gospel of you must go abroad, you know, go and settle abroad, because things work better there. It's because I have understood that there is the narrow gate that leads to life. Do you understand my point? And the fact that something is easier somewhere is never the reason why I should step into it. I was talking with somebody recently. I was telling him that at this particular period, I want to take a small visit. I want to go for an attachment somewhere in the United States. He said, I hope you are going to come back. I said, yes, of course. He said, when you reach, I said, listen. I said, ministry for me is in Nigeria. He said, there's also ministry in America. I said, you don't get a point. Let me promise you something now. Even if I get there, he said, come and preach in our church. I will tell you, I have no gospel for you. Because I don't buy things on credit, you know, credit card and all that. So I don't know how it feels if you are owing. Are you following my point? But I know I buy things here where cash must be complete before they release it to you. So if I want to preach, I am touched with the feeling of the infirmities of the people I'm preaching to. I'm bringing out a point. So the point is that when you find how easy life is, you know, I've always said this thing. Now, I hope I don't sound too spiritual. I've heard people who say they died and they went to heaven. And heaven was so beautiful, they said they won't come back. When the Lord now comes back to them and says, go back to the earth. I said, no, I don't want to come back. This way is very fine. I said, well, maybe if I have that experience, I'm not trying to sound too spiritual. I said, but listen to me. I am one person that will never agree. He said, why? I said, listen, dear Lord, is this not the heaven you talked about? Yes, I know now. We are going to come here finally. So what is the hurry? I said, by the way, I have a wife who's crying right now because I died. I have children who's wondering what happened to daddy. I have gospels I have not finished preaching. The gold on the street, believe me, is not an enticement for my soul. God knows I am not trying to sound spiritual. I really mean it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The reason being that life is not about enjoying. Life is about, look, God said the kingdom of God is not in food and meat, in drinking. That's what is called righteousness. It's in doing the works of God. I told you that righteousness is not, I'm a righteous man in my heart. There is nothing like that. The Bible says, he that doeth righteously is righteous. Righteousness is in doing the work of God. That's what the kingdom of God is about. He said, the man just go to heaven and say, this is so fine. I'm not going back to the earth. He said, okay. What about your wife? What about your children? What about the work that you have not yet done? What is this? This heaven, look, for here, for your information, this place is called eternity. Are you following the point I'm making here? What am I explaining today? That there is what is called the gates of righteousness. And what determines what you eventually experience in life is not that thing you really desire. It is how you got into it. Satan is very crafty. You know what? When I say crafty, Satan is really crafty. He will steal from a man and use it to buy his own soul. That is, he will come to you. Not even steal, borrow. So, boy, lend me 10 million naira. He will collect from the man and go around and say, come, I want to buy your soul. See 10 million naira. That's what Satan does. What do I mean? The test in life for you to know whether God has really given you something is refuse to compromise to get it. If it doesn't come, it was never yours. Do you know why? Even if you compromise, listen to what I'm going to say, you would not have gotten it. Let me say that again. That's why I want to explain. If Oral Robert and his men had paid those people, and God has said, you are not getting it or you are not getting it now, no matter the amount of money you pay, you won't get it. And look, if you don't put that in your mind, you will make a lot of wrong decisions. You know, one of the ways by which 419 people, thieves, how they get people is this. They will tell you, don't tell anybody, it's only you we are trying to help. You know, sometimes I enter the market. So this is how much? He said 5,000 naira. He said, okay, let me pay 3,000. No, you are pricing. The guy said, last I can give you is 4,007. And that's because it is you. I always ask them, say, who am I? You say, it's because it's me. What is my name? Am I your brother? Do we attend the same church? Do you know me from somewhere? That's how you know you are lying. He said, it is me. So a stranger comes and says, I just want to help you. For that reason, don't tell anybody else. Once they start telling you like that, you just know 419 has begun. The next thing, principle of 419, is they will tell you, listen, now, another 24 hours, the thing has gone. So you have to act fast. That's actually what I was going to explain. When they tell you, act fast, you know what you should do? If you are not sure it is of God, delay. Deliberately add an extra day. When they say, by the first, you must have done it. Don't even put off your phone on 31st. On 3rd, call them. How far? 90% of the time, the team is still waiting. Okay, we didn't hear from you again. We just said, let's give you one more week. He said, if I don't bring in 31st, Jesus Christ will come back. He has not come back yet. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is one of the ways, that's the point I want to actually bring out exactly. One of the ways you know it is God that is giving you something is that you delay it a bit, it doesn't go away from you. Are you getting my point? What I want to bring out is, if indeed it went away, then it was not your own. Are you following my point? They say, opportunity comes by but once. I say, it's not true. That is not the gospel of a man who is blessed. If opportunity comes to the house of a blessed man, he knocks. He said, please, sir, is Mr. ABC around? He said, no. He said, please, when he comes, tell him his opportunity sent from God came. And he's not at home, I will come back. That's how opportunities that God sent, that's how they behave. Are you following the point I'm trying to make here? That is, you cannot, because you don't want to miss the opportunity. He said, seize that moment. Quickly do it. Listen to me. That's how men enter into error. What I'm trying to explain here is this. If indeed something was yours, sent from God, and you delayed in tapping into it, it will still wait. So if somebody told you that it was because you delayed that it went away, listen to me, it is a lie. Even if you had not delayed, it will still have gone away. That's the point I'm trying to get you to understand. I hear it said all the time. People say, if I know what I know now, many years ago, now I will be a multimillionaire. I said, wait. What to claim if you are known then? Do it now. Let's see whether in 10 years time you'll be a multimillionaire. That's when we will know the difference. Do you understand my point? The one I hear, a lot of people have told me that. Their land here was being sold at 10,000 naira when I first came to Enugu. I said, did you have 10,000 naira at that time? He said, because the land now is 500,000. I said, wait now. 10,000 naira at that time was harder for you to get than 500,000 today. I hope you know. And if you are so sure of that gospel, there is still land being sold for 10,000 that will become 500,000 in a few years. Go there and go and buy. But they don't do it. What am I trying to say? It is not all those things that make a man blessed. You are following the principle what I'm saying here? Are you getting my point? That is, if God has decided that this thing is yours, it is yours. That's how opportunities are. If it is your own, it is your own. Nobody else can catch it. Are you getting my point? But let me sit on the main thing I want to say. That if somebody said compromise, step into iniquity, enter into this thing by unrighteousness, and you will get it. And you refuse, and you don't get it. And they say, Shebi, we told you. You should have done it. I'm telling you now authoritatively from the word of God that it's a lie. Even if you had compromised, you would not have gotten it. I was saying something earlier that the political situation in Nigeria and all that. Sometimes I look at governors or the people who are seeking political offices. And one after the other, they start entering into covenants and making allegiances and swearing to oaths and all that because they want to get to a particular place. Listen to this. If you are a child of God and you are stepping into anything like that, listen to this. That is, you are aspiring for a political office and they tell you that you must do this and do this and do that. There's something I want you to put in mind as you start. And that is the fact that if you did it, that if you do it and get it, you have just shortchanged yourself. Do you know why? Because you will have gotten it anyway if you have done only the right things. What I'm saying, it's so simple that people may not even understand it. That is, where you will have gotten to by doing iniquity is far inferior to where God wanted to take you to by doing righteousness. The only thing is that Satan tells you, I can give you now. God has prepared you to be a president in the next 18 years. Satan says, bow down, believe me, I will make you a governor tomorrow. And then men bow. Are you getting my point? And Satan gives them the governorship and they feel like, yes. But all God is saying is that this was going to be a president in another 15 years. But now he has become a governor. He can never be anything more than that. Are you getting my point? Listen, I don't have all the facts, but I've heard it again and again, and I know it to be true. That Abraham Lincoln lost almost all, not all. He lost most of the positions he ever vied for before that presidency. Are you getting my point? That this man will try for the Senate, they will defeat him. He will try for chairman of the party, they will defeat him. Then finally one, they just got up. Okay, I'm going for presidency. Then he won that one. You are getting my point? Because he was appointed by God to occupy that position. Is what I'm saying making sense to you? Are you getting my point? You know, I started by saying that, see, what you really get depends on the gates you use. And I was saying that one of the things that characterizes the gate of God is that it's very narrow. And that truth is parallel to the fact that God always starts things small. Are you getting my point? And the road that is broad, which the Bible says always ends in destruction, does not make you squeeze, does not make things difficult at any particular point in time. It does not make things difficult at any point. It just tells you, step into this and that's it, you are there. But the truth is that they are lying to you. I told you earlier that if Satan gives you something that God wanted to give you originally, what it does is that it gives you earlier than you will have gotten it, number one. But second, you don't even last in it. You don't last in it. You know, I said I wanted to start talking about what I call the servant of God. And one of the things that came to my mind when I wanted to say it, all right, when that first thing first came to my mind, is for people to understand that there is what the Bible calls bearing your burden in the days of your youth. That it is evil for a man to run away from difficulty if he's pursuing a vision. Let me say this again. If people say that it is simpler to do this here, it is easier to do this there, go here and you'll find everything is easier, that they are giving you a satanic principle for moving in life. What am I trying to say? That God's order is that before a man can become what the Bible calls an effective high priest, he must pass through the pains and the sufferings that the people he's going to minister to are supposed to pass through. Believe me, if you're a young man, you are fooling yourself If anybody will tell you that, you just go to Australia, go to America, work for 10 years, gather your money and come back home and set up a business, you are deceiving yourself. You are deceiving yourself. One of the things I was discussing with Pastor Andy that day was exactly the same thing. That people said, he said, if you want to start a business and they give you a huge amount of money in a business you have not done before, be sure of one thing, you will lose most of it. Listen to me. Be sure of one thing, you will lose most of it. A young man who wants to start trading and they give him 10 million naira to start is going to lose every trade he does at the beginning. Do you understand my point? I'm begging you. Paul told Timothy, he said, this is how a servant of God, a true soldier of God, this is how he moves in life. He learns to do what? Endure hardship. People tell me that they take light in Nigeria. I say light. Ordinarily, they take light. Something is wrong with your head. Because they take light. So that is a problem. Listen, the principle of success in life is that as a young man, you must learn to endure hardship. Now, please get what I'm going to say. I never said you must enjoy hardship. Enjoying hardship shows that something is wrong with you. You have a mental problem. It is not godly to enjoy hardship. Our great example, Jesus Christ, what did he do? When he saw hardship, he began to cry. Are you getting my point? He begins to sweat. You know what they call sweat? You know when a man begins to sweat, it's because there's trouble. So when Jesus saw hardship, what did he do? He started sweating. He started praying. And said, God, are you sure there's no other way? Any other gate open that is your gate? God said, no. He said, nevertheless, let your will be done. No problem. The Bible said he endured the cross. Did he enjoy it? Listen, the power to endure is something that you need. And stop going around in life mumbling as if everybody life owes you everything that you need. Are you getting my point? The power to do what? Endure. There was something that Pastor Paul, you said, I've quoted it for us before, and that thing is so true. He said, life is a war of attrition. Let us see who will wear out first. Do you get my point? That's why, listen, you can cause all the troubles you want. I am not shifting until I'm persuaded that God said it's time to shift. Why? Because what you want to do is scare me away from God's inheritance. All that thing does for me is to, like David, I run back to the gates of righteousness, which is number one key, prayer. Until I started hearing God's shots near my house, I did not pray as much as I prayed those seasons. About security. Do you understand the point I make? That is, but one thing I said is that, don't tell me Abakaliki is safer than Enugu, so I should move to Abakaliki. No, I'm not moving from here. That is when I wake up in the morning, I curse the thief, I curse the armed robber. Anyone that crosses my street, may he die. Do you understand my point? That prayer protects not only me, but by everybody around me. He said, if you just go to Gabon, there are no thieves in Gabon. In fact, let us go and start ministry in Gabon. Are you getting my point? Listen to me. Until God says it is time to move out, I am not going. Why? Because it's a war of attrition. That is who will endure to the end. That is the person that will be saved. You are getting what I'm trying to say here? So all this noise of that, you know that in Nigeria, nothing works. Come to that UNTH stuff. Nothing is working. I say, listen to me. Things don't ever work. People work them. Have you ever seen anything that has a mind of its own? Are you getting my point? Have you ever seen anything that has a mind of its own? The discussion I reported to you, I had with a young man one day in my office. He said that, do you consider your friend, your colleague, who practices in London, having an advantage over you? I said, in doing what? Explain it. Is it in attending to my patients? Because there is no advantage. Why? He has not carried my patients to him. I don't know whether I get my point. That is, the issue is the amount of service I deliver to the people I'm serving. Remember my story I told you when I first came to Enugu, and I taught a number of very, very ignorant medical students. I taught them pathology. They were repeating the exam. And one of them, after learning and passing, went abroad, went for electives and came back and said, sir, you are too intelligent to be here. In fact, I think you should go there. I sat in my office, I was looking at her that day. In short, people like you, they're just wasting away here. In fact, what you should just do, just pack your load and go over there. When she finished, I said, when I have gone, all the ignoramuses like you, what will happen to them? I gave her those words like that. I said, when I would have gone, the ignoramuses come in after, like that, just like when I met you, what will happen to them? Then I condemned them to their darkness. She? To go and teach people that to them, I'm 2 for 10 kobo. Not by 2 for 10 kobo. Pathologists go, pathologists come. Nothing spoil. That if you die today, they replace it tomorrow morning. There are enough people on the queue to take over your seat. I was explaining something that this is what characterizes a servant of God. That he learns to do what? Endure hardship. I'm not saying you enjoy hardship. Do you understand my point? You think I like it when every night in my house, you have to go and draw generator. Thank God I have young... when my brother is around, I used to be very happy. Because then I always had light. You know why? Before NEPA takes light, he has gone to put on my generator. And I thank God, every day I thank God that at least I have generators. Not just generator, I have generators. Different sizes. The only trouble I have is how to go and start them. But if he's not around those days, God, it was a headache. You think I enjoyed it? Me too, I don't want him to take my light. I don't want them to take my light. But I will not, because they will not take my light. I will deny the whole of Eastern Nigeria the power of the words I'm preaching right now. God forbid. How will my children be blessed? I've told you that your righteousness is the seed for your children's future, not the passport you give them. Are you hearing my point? He said, mark is right, the righteous man. His seed will be mighty on the earth. And I've told you, righteousness is not a, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness. That thing is a grammatical incongruency. Which, that English, all right. The English is not congruent. He that doeth righteousness, the Bible says he is righteous. There are things you do. I was telling you about my own version of the miracle of seed faith. Remember what I said that time about spiritual economics? That I refused to buy stocks until I understood that it is not a matter of your tomorrow is secure. It is a matter of you cannot pray effectively for a land you are not ready to risk your money for. Do you understand my point? There's something happening right now in UNN. Our vice chancellor. He said everybody should donate money to the campus. Oh, you haven't filled? Okay, see. Now you understand the principle. In UNN has problem. Some people are gathering every day, casting out demons. Like, they do that a lot in UNTH. They will gather. One day, one man came and said maybe they made covenants with some people to spoil UNTH before. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's good to gather, all right, and pray for your establishment. But when the vice chancellor brought out the form and said, please donate money, we want to start a kind of fund for powering research and development in the university, apart from money we get from federal government. We will look for money everywhere, but first let's take from our staff, and everybody should please give. So you see, some people say, okay, 2% of my basic salary, 10% of my basic salary over the next 2 years. I've not filled my own form. Now that I'm preaching, I should remember. Because I must. It will be iniquity for me. If I forget to fill the form, I'll write a check and go and give them. Then, Mike, just like you did. What I'm saying is this. No matter how hard you pray for that campus, if you don't give a dime, your prayer is emptiness. You know, prayer is very cheap. I have noticed that thing. Prayer is the easiest thing for Christians to do. Especially when they claim they can speak in tongues. You know the word I use? When they claim. So the guy needs to be doing is pacing up and down. He's not saying anything. He knows. I know. God knows. The angels know. He's not saying anything. That's why James said, short your prayer. Put your hand in your pocket. Are you getting my point? Let no friend pray for you who will not give you anything. When you are in need, those prayers are empty. The Bible says there is what is called the effectual fervent prayer. Amplified uses the word heartfelt. That is the matter is touching you. You are being touched with the feeling of the infirmity. Are you following the point I'm making here? Anyone said, Pastor Banky, we are praying for Kingdom World Ministries. If all you do for kingdom world is pray, make sure you are completely broke. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? If all you do for kingdom world is pray, then make sure you are absolutely broke. Because if you are more, if you are not perpetually broke, then please don't pray. Without say, look, how much do you pay for radio? Say, okay, out of that, I have only 0.5%. Are you getting my? How would you like a father to come and meet you? Say, I'm praying for you. This one that you're in school, you will do well. And he goes home. Ah, you go hold in trousers. Say, waiting. Ah, didn't you come home with anything for the boys? Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? There's a principle behind that thing. The servant of God. They're servants. They have to learn to endure with their master. Are you getting my point? That life is not a matter of enjoyment. There is something you are supposed to impact into this life. There was something I was saying earlier. Let me not forget that train of thought. So if a man go and gather money, say, give a man to start business, he will lose most of it. He will lose most of it. But you know what he starts with? He starts with a passion, diligence, discipline, and no money. That's the best way to start business. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Passion for what you want to do. Diligence. And what? Discipline. And above all, no money. If you ever read Robert Kiyosaki, he said that's how it started. Do you understand what I'm saying? When I say no money, what do I mean? If he wants to sell maybe phone or a recharge card, first he has to use prayer. This is the servant of God I'm talking about too. He has to use prayer to allow somebody take one brick on credit. That is, as he's selling, he'll collect his commission. Then he will pack the money until he cannot buy one brick for himself. Then he buys the first brick, they probably allow him to take three bricks. My friend Chairman was saying something the other day. He said one of the things that he enjoyed, that these are businesses, it's a matter of integrity. That there are banks he goes to, he doesn't give them collateral, he just says, this amount of money I need. They just sign and give him the money because they know he always pays back. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if he has a serious business to do, he looks at this is a sure business and this business is good. He walks to the bank and says, I need this amount of money now. No collateral for them. Why? Because his name is his collateral. They know him. Are you following my point? They know him. So they give him the money. He'll go away and go and spend their money. And then they know their money will come back. That is more important than having large capital to start something. Narrow is the gate that leads to enduring prosperity. That's what I'm trying to say. Are you following my point? Let me begin to round up what I'm saying today. Remember where we started from? That David said in Psalm 118, he said that there are different gates, and that's what I'm emphasizing, that the gate of righteousness is the gate of God. And that gate, things are tight in it. And that it is pure spiritual irresponsibility to depart away from the gates of righteousness because it is tight. Are you following me? And that what makes one a servant of God indeed, the one that is ready to walk with the Father, is that he learns to do what? Endure hardness. I need to use Christians, and not only, well, Christians basically. Because people generally need to understand this, but more importantly, those who claim to be children of God. You must understand this. That the fact that something is tight is not the reason to depart from it. Are you following my point? I remember this was a very simple example, but it happened so recently. Those is when I finished youth service and we're going to start residency. Everybody wondered how we were managing. That's it, you will see salary. They say, I remember one judge. This guy is a high court judge, I think, in Abuja. He came to visit my cousin's husband then. He's a very close family friend. So when they were talking, I told him how much I was earning in a month. And the man told me flat that I couldn't be telling the truth, that I was then telling him that I was lying. And at that point, I was literally earning 6,000 naira a month. You know why he said so? I'll tell you. He had chronic sinusitis. That's why I came to Lagos. Went to a co-hospital for operation. And his bill for the surgery was 36,000 naira. That is, I, a resident doctor, couldn't pay for that surgery. The hospital where I worked before them, before I was doing one locum, I was working somewhere before I started residency, and I continued working for them for some time before I now resigned and faced my job squarely
And then I was being paid 6,000 naira a month. Then when they did appendectomies, they charged their patients 25,000 naira. The standard salary that Lute was paying, that's nationwide though, was paying, was 6,000 naira to a resident doctor. We enjoyed it, right? Not lie. All we did was do what? Endured hardship. People say, no, private practice is the deal. But I said, private practice will not make you a pathologist. No matter how much money you make as a private practitioner, you will not become a specialist. Are you following my point? You have to go. And so, unfortunately, in quotes, the only way to where we wanted to go was hard and narrow. So, by the time we finished, the same people said, man, you guys were wise. I'm not joking. That is, people who said that, how are you coping? They now come and say, man, you guys were wise. So then you go and look for him. Maybe like when I came to Enugu, it was a topic of discussion that this man can't be this old and be a specialist. That he's too small to be. That's the idea. That how old is this boy? Are you getting my point? No, don't think it was only me. Many of my class, but then to accomplish that, we had to do what? Endure what? Hardship. I remember one day I went to go and teach in a revision course. Then, of course, Enugu, they had not seen, apart from Professor Enugu, they had not seen a pathologist in a very long time. So every course that needed to be, that was being taught in that UNTH, the pathology section, I had to teach it. So then I went to go and teach in ONG. They were doing a revision course, ONG. So I was supposed to teach two topics. So and it was a Saturday. So I came in, I think the only pair of jeans I had in recent times, a big shirt on top of it, and a pair of sandals. So I walked into the hall. So I just went to somebody, I'm the clinician, I'm supposed to teach you guys pathology of the female genital tract and this and that. And the guy, they looked at me like. And someone started laughing. This is not a joke. They were laughing. So I just looked around. You have a marker. Yeah, I just picked, I think either a marker or a piece of chalk. And that's how I teach usually. I teach from my head, you know, I just talk. It's usual with me, whether it's Bible or class, and that's just the way I'm used to teaching. So as I talk, so do you know, for the first 5 minutes, they were not listening. They were talking. Like, what is this one looking for here? He should be taking this revision with us. What is wrong with him? You know, but you know, God is good. God is good. Amen. After 5 minutes, the whole class was quiet. You know why? The stuff was flying out too fast. I was discharging it. I said, look, sorry, I don't have to have only 2 hours. One thing after the other. I was right here. But then, of course, they had prepared them. I was supposed to give them notes. I said, I'll bring the notes. And I made the notes. I'll tell you why I made the notes. I was very happy to make the notes for them. Because that day, we didn't have money. We were still living in the guest house that time. And I left the house. Told my wife, let me go and teach a course. I'm coming. I think, is it GSM had come that time? No, GSM hadn't come. I don't think GSM had come. So when I finished, literally, this is not a joke. When I finished, the whole class erupted in an ovation. Literally, no, not a joke. Of course, as soon as I walked out, one of my classmates in university came out and said, oh boy, what are you doing? I said, what did you do? He was taking the course. I was teaching the course. It was my classmate on campus. They were most people who said that, man, you boys were wise. You know, it is not a matter of you were wise. Are you following my point? It is not a matter of you were wise. That is, when you are squeezing through the gate, you are very foolish. Then when you have finally gotten to the other end, and different people have appeared that came by different gates, they start looking very wise. Now, but I told you why I was very happy to make the notes. I thought 2 hours when I was going. That was year 2000, Abi. Yes, I thought 2000, 2001. But I came to Enugu in 2000. The man coordinating the course just called me and said, please, he has to leave. So he brought out an envelope and gave me my honorarium for the two lectures. And I counted. It was 8,000 naira. Yeah. The Lord is good all the time. That's why. So he said that they would like to have notes for the. I said, no problem. Is it notes you want? Just wait. I sat down and made a detailed, two detailed notes for each of the hour.
For 8,000 naira, why won't I write notes for you? I will write anything you want to. Now, what I'm explaining by all of this is this. As a servant of God, as a true minister of God, what you have to learn is what, how to do what? Endure hardship. Do you follow my point? Hardship is, that's why it says the road is narrow and straight. This word in King James, when it's used, was straight. Straight means that it's tight. Do you get my point? It is tight. To go through it, it is tight. You will scratch your shoulder trying to maneuver through that gate. And listen, that is what makes you an effective high priest. Listen to what I'm saying. That is what makes you what? An effective high priest. God did not bring a high priest who had not suffered like his brethren. I was teaching them at Ungo yesterday. I said, Jesus was born in a manger. Is it because God didn't know how to build a house for a servant that was coming? After all, ordinary Elisha. Ordinary Elijah. God stirred up the heart of a widow. And she remembered to build a house specially for him. How much more Jesus Christ? God was announcing in the heavens that he's coming. They were seeing stars in different parts of the world, knowing he's coming. Is that not so? God forgot to build, to even reserve, not even build, just reserve room. Just to go to the hotel, to the ward, the maternity ward, and say, please, there's one young woman who's coming. And, you know, angels keep any other woman. In fact, no labor in Israel this night. Any labor that's supposed to occur in Israel this night, shut all the wombs. They won't deliver until tomorrow. So all the midwives and the obstetricians will be idle, ready to take this delivery. God didn't do that. God seemingly forgot. You're getting my point? And they made sure all the rooms were full. You know why they went to the manger? It was an emergency. The way you run to casualty in emergency, they run to a manger just for shelter. You know why God did that? He said he had to be like his brethren. So God looked at the lowest part and said, go and give birth to him amongst the animals. It can't be worse than that. Are you getting my point? So he came as low as was possible. That is why he's an effective high priest. Are you getting what I'm saying? The way to make it in business, like I said, is to scratch from the beginning. Start small. That is, the only reason you will stay there is because you believe that I know the thoughts I have towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Listen, I'm persuaded of this. There is nobody who did not endure hardship that will amount to anything in life. Are you getting my point? That's why all the big men you hear of, they always tell funny stories. There's something you wonder, that is that God does not bless those who were rich. No. It's not as if he doesn't. But what he does is this. Listen, every time he gives a young woman the opportunity to make a choice to become a servant of God or just to keep on enjoying life. You're not getting my point? That is, he will take Joseph and sell him into slavery to deliver him away from the wealth of his father. That Joseph now to learn how to serve in the house of Potiphar. Let me explain. When I see somebody enduring hardship, I don't mean he must be born of very poor parents. No, you can be in the house of the rich man and be the son that serves. You don't understand that point? The prodigal brother, the prodigal son, the brother. What did he say? He said, all these days I have served thee. Neither have I transgressed any of your commandments. When they were doing party, he was just coming back from the field. You are not getting the point. That this party was evening, right? When they were rolling out the drums and killing the animals, he wasn't around. When he came back, it was obvious this guy came back home late. Where was he coming from? He was coming from the fields. He was coming from the fields. That is, even in the house of his rich father, he was enduring what? Hardship. Bill Gates said something very interesting. He said, does he want to wreck his children with money? So he plans to give out all the money. He'll give them small things and then send them away. And then dash the money to the rest of the world. Because that is a bad disservice to do to your children, to just give them this amount of money. They will all collude for head. But you know the interesting part? It's just that he made money very early. Now, if he had the child, all right, and the child had been with him, and he will know the child that have endured and will not go crazy under that weight of wealth. In fact, while he's still alive, the guy will be managing the money. He will see no reason to dispossess him of all the good works he could do with it. Look, let me close. This is our time to close. The point I have made today is this. It's simple. The way to enduring prosperity is simple. Enter by the difficult gate. The way to enduring prosperity is to enter by the gates of righteousness. You are following my point? That is, the way to enduring prosperity is to enter as the son that serves, is to learn to endure hardship as a true soldier of Christ. That was what Paul wrote to Timothy. I hope you've learned a thing or two today. All right, let us pray.